Welcome to Discovering Spirit Within. I'm Reverend Deborah Phillips, Associate Minister at Spiritual Life Center in Sacramento, California. Today we're talking about how there's always another way to do something. Now that might sound super, super optimistic and unrealistic, but let's talk about it for a while and see where we get to with it. This came up, well, I think about it a lot, honestly, because at Spiritual Life Center, we teach one thing, and that is that there's only one energy, there's only one, and we are unique divine expressions of that one. And how do you talk about that and keep people interested? And yet every single week at our church, every single week on Facebook, every single week on a Wednesday that we produce something, we're talking about the same thing in a different way. And so how do we do that? How do we come up with another way to look at it? And it really comes from the fact that each of us is unique. And so when we start to talk about something, we're going to present it from our point of view. A perfect example was a talk I gave on Sunday, July 2nd. I talked about freedom. Now, that freedom was about emotional, mental freedom and how we put ourselves in boxes because of our beliefs and our thoughts. And I had my own take on it. I talked about it for 20 minutes. The next Tuesday, which was 4th of July, Reverend James did a Facebook broadcast, and he talked about exactly the same thing in a completely different way. He used different vocabulary. He used different examples for the most part. He talked for 12 minutes. I talked for 20 minutes. And guess what? We said exactly the same thing, but in completely different ways. And it was interesting to me to listen to him talk. I wasn't going, yeah, I know this. I was really interested in the way that he was presenting it. And some of the feedback that I get from people on Sundays when I talk is because I presented something in a way that they hadn't heard before. I used a different perspective or a different idea or a different example, and all of a sudden they heard it. And it's really cool when that happens. I was thinking about that, and then I got to thinking about how we get ourselves just tied up into knots over trying to accomplish some task or get something to work in our lives. And I thought about how often we just keep trying the same thing over and over and over because that's the way we think it should happen. And here's an example. The other day, the glasses that I wear around the house fell apart. I was standing there and a lens fell out. Well, obviously the screw had come out of one side. So I dug out the eyeglass repair kit, which consists of a minuscule screwdriver and even more minuscule screws, and attempted to repair the glasses. I could not get the screw in there at all. I'm good at this kind of thing, but I couldn't grasp it. I couldn't keep a hold of it. I didn't have anything that was magnetized. And so finally, I surrendered because it wasn't the end of the world that I didn't have my glasses because I only wear them around the house. The next day, I got in the car and I went down to the optometrist to get them fixed. And it was the day before 4th of July and they were closed. So I came back home and I sat down with the kit again. And I spent a lot of time fumbling with it, trying to get that little tiny screw into that little tiny place. And I kept looking at it, and I kept looking at the other side, and I had it in my head that it had to happen a certain way. And after a lot of frustration, I finally got out a really bright light so that I could see the area very clearly. And I turned it over, and all that time I had been trying to put the screw in from the top of the glasses, and they go in from the bottom. Yeah, it was that simple. And because the hole where the screw went in was bigger than the bottom part of it. Duh. And I just had to laugh. But it just showed me how determined we get if we think something's supposed to be a certain way. We just go at it and at it and at it, even if we stop and take a break. Now, I will say that stopping and taking a break is a really good strategy because it helps you think things through. And that was part of why I was finally successful, is because I was ready to give up And then I thought, no, there has to be another way to do this. There has to be an answer because the professionals can do it. And I've got a feeling they don't have a magical method. They might have a machine, might have a clamp that they can put the glasses in and hold it for you better, but they don't have a magic wand. And that was what took me to, oh, get a bright light so you can actually see what you're doing. And then I realized, A, that I was looking, there's two screws, and I was looking at the wrong one, and I was putting it in the wrong direction. And there's so many other situations that come along in life that, of course, are much bigger, that have to do with relationships and your job and all of that. And a situation comes up, and we decide to handle it in the way that we know how, or the way that we've been told is the, this is the way you handle this. And you try to do it that way, and it doesn't work. And then you try to handle it that way again, and it doesn't work. And then frustration sets in, and then you think you're a failure, and then see how that can spiral down and down and down. And the truth is that there's always a way to get something done. It may not be the way that we expect. It may not be the way we know how. Sometimes we have to engage other people to help us. And yeah, I know asking for help is not necessarily a lot of people's best ability, but asking for help can be the very best thing we can do for ourselves sometimes. You know, I read what I call the British call them agony aunts, the advice columns. And I read them not to be peeking into other people's private lives, but it's very interesting to me, first of all, who writes for advice and the kind of advice they ask for. Now, sometimes it really is just people whining. But there are times when it is someone who really has a situation that they don't know how to handle. And of course, the first thing that goes on in my head is it's really kind of makes me sad that they don't have anybody else to talk to and they have to write to a stranger. And then it goes through my head, it's like, wait a minute, writing to a stranger who has absolutely no idea what's going on might be the best way to get the most objective advice. So that's right there. There's another way. And then the really good advice people will suggest a different way of looking at it, a different way of approach. And another trait of the really good ones is there's never any shame or blame. And a really good advice columnist might take someone to task, but they're merciful, they're kind, they're trying, they're offering help. They're not trying to help, they're offering help. I actually find a lot of benefit in reading those columns because of that. And I learn something. I learn another perspective a lot of times, and sometimes I'm able to use that in my own work. Another way, how do I do something differently? We get so used to seeing life and all of the events in our lives in a certain way that we forget to look around and see how else something can be done. There's a very old story that you may have heard, and it's about a woman who goes to the butcher and she orders a roast, and then she asks him to cut 2 inches off of the roast. And she does this for years and years and years. And one day the butcher finally asked her, "Why do you have me cut 2 inches off the roast?" And the woman said, "You know, I don't know. My mother always did that, so I do it." The woman became curious, so she went to her mother and she said, "Why did you always have them cut 2 inches off the roast?" And her mom said, "Well, the pan was small and so it wouldn't fit unless they cut 2 inches off the roast." The woman saw her mom do this as a child, she just never questioned it, and she just carried it on into her life. And we do that. We do that with all kinds of things, with the mundane things like buying roasts and how you keep your kitchen and what you keep on your kitchen counter or what you don't keep on your kitchen counter, whether the dishes get washed immediately after dinner or you can let them set for a while. All of these little habits are ingrained in us, and we never think about changing them. Well, we do when we get married or start living with somebody. And of course, then it's a matter of whose perspective is right or whose perspective can we both live with. Another example is I had a fairly controlling mother, and she was very, very interested in appearances. They were more important than anything else. And so I was well-dressed. because of her. We would go shopping for clothes, and truthfully, if we didn't find something in the first 15 minutes, I was just happy to go down to the bookstore. But of course, she wouldn't let me do that. And so, you know, we persevered and we bought clothes. But the clothes I wore were pretty much guided by her. She didn't force me to wear something I absolutely hated, but I learned to wear matching outfits. Now, granted, this was the 60s and 70s where they were kind of in vogue at the time. But I had actually someone tease me one time about my outfits, and I was probably in my 30s before I learned to mix and match. And even when I mixed and matched, I still had an outfit. So if I was mixing a blouse with a pair of pants, I always wore them together, even though they weren't matching. It was so ingrained in me that it took a long time for me to realize that there was another way to do it. And of course, it's a lot more fun. Mixing and matching our clothes and not just wearing outfits all the time. At least it is for me. But I digress a bit here. Okay, so a situation comes along in your life and you start to deal with it in whatever way that you know how. Now remember, you already know one way to deal with it. The important thing to remember here is that you know one way. The way that either you were taught or the way that seems the most logical or the way that someone else tells you to do it. But there are always other options. It's just that they might not be obvious. And this is where the spirituality part comes in. This is where you take a step back, you meditate or pray or take your quiet time, however you do that, and open up your mind to the idea that there's more than one way to do this thing. There's more than one way to solve the issue. There's more than one answer. It doesn't have to be the way you think it is. Now, there's two challenges here. The one is opening your mind in the first place, and the other is overcoming that ingrained idea of this is how life works. And honestly, if you've been on this planet for a while, you really do know that life doesn't always work the way we were told or the way we think it does. But we still persist in trying to make it be that way. And we do that partly because we're much more comfortable. We want to stay in our comfort zone. So when a situation comes along and your standard practice isn't helping you with it, that's the time to step out of your comfort zone. Because honestly, if you're in a situation that you're trying to solve, you're probably really already out of your comfort zone anyway. So honestly, if you're already uncomfortable, what the heck? You may as well take that extra step out into the unknown and see what happens. The worst that could happen is it doesn't work. Now, you might worry about making things worse, but that's fairly unlikely. And really, if you are taking the time to step back, do a little meditation, do a little thinking about it, getting that advice that I've talked about, just trying something new or different isn't going to hurt anything. And every time you try something and it doesn't work, you learn something, right? I mean, that's what experiments are all about. And if you look at whatever you're doing as an experiment, you know, one of the things that I have learned working with Reverend James Trapp at SLC is that everything is an experiment. I finally got much more comfortable doing Sunday talks by thinking this is an experiment. Every talk is an experiment. Every podcast I do is an experiment. Every time I get out of bed in the morning, it's an experiment. And when I look at life as an experiment on a, I mean, day-to-day basis, which relieves me of a lot of anxiety and a lot of stress. And I've also learned that if I do something and it doesn't quite work, and I don't get a do-over, it's just the way it is, I just, you know, it's like, okay, that was a moment in time. That was 15 minutes of my life, and we'll just move on from here, and we'll do better next time. Now, that may sound sort of namby-pamby, I guess, but it's a fact. It is an absolute fact. Something's done, we can't go back and change that, so we move forward. And that's one of our basic teachings in New Thought, is that the past is the past, and all we can really do is what we can do now. The now is the only thing that exists. Staying present, staying here now, forgiving yourself for whatever you feel like you should have done or should not have done, and then move forward. That's our teaching, that, and it works so well. And in that moment of processing what happened that didn't work or whatever, that's another opportunity to look at alternatives, at other ways to do things. Again, not from a shame or blame sort of thing, is say, okay, this happened. What can we do better next time? In fact, you don't even go back and beat yourself up or the other people up for what didn't work. You just simply say, all right, this is how it came out. What is another way to do this? And it's the same thing whether you're working with a group of people or with your, it's just yourself. It's how many different ways, okay, let's look at it this way. How many different ways can you cook chicken? How many different ways can you cook rice? How many different ways can you do something with eggs? I think there's a book out there, it was like 1,000 ways to cook eggs or something. And I feel like I'm starting to repeat myself here, and I hope I'm not. But the idea is to be open to looking at things from a broader point of view, because we get so stuck. It's like me trying over and over and over to put that little tiny, almost invisible screw in an almost invisible hole, and I was putting it in from the wrong direction. Now, I didn't know that I was putting it in from the wrong direction until I examined it. I got a brighter light. And with a brighter light, I was able to see what I needed to do. And it still took something because the thing was so little. However, it was the light that showed me the way. And I got to the light by first becoming very frustrated and then being completely determined that I was going to fix those things. Not because I couldn't live without them, but because, by golly, it wasn't going to get me. And then I turned away from it for a few minutes, and I went and I found my little light, and I took some time, and I thought about it. And then I came back, and I sat down, and I looked at it, and went, oh, duh. And within a few moments, I had it repaired. Find your own light. In any situation, you can find your own light. How you do that is up to you, whether it is meditation, prayer, going out, walking in nature, playing some sport that helps you get your mind off of situations and get you looking in a different direction. The light comes from all different kinds of places. You know, there's a saying that is attributed to Leonard Cohen because he put it in a song. But I think Leonard Cohen even said that this came from the Zen Buddhist teachings. And it is this. There's a crack in everything. That's how the light gets in. Now, he's talking about being imperfect. I'm using this in the aspect of, if you have a situation that you're trying to find an answer to and you need that light, then you need to open a crack of your mind. You have to open your mind, allow the light to come in and show you a different way of doing things. And that is by going within, finding that place within you that has never been touched by the outside world. Remembering that you are a unique expression of the One Source, which means you are not separate from the One Source, which means you are not separate from the answers. You are not separate from solutions, and that there are many, many paths to any one destination. There are many ways to approach anything that is happening in your life. And some of them are well-known and well-worn and basically the ruts that we are in. And there are others that are unique and interesting and screwy. And honestly, sometimes the screwy path is the most fun. So whatever it is that's going on in your life, I hope that you can take a moment to stop and try to look at it from a different point of view, because there's always another way to look at something. And when you can get to that point, you not only make your life better, you become a much more flexible human being. And the more flexible you are, the more in tune you will be with spirit, because spirit is not a rut. Spirit is not rigid. Spirit is flow and love and ease and confidence and knowing. It is also courage. And so this week I encourage you to find another way, be open to another way of being in the world, another way of working with whatever situations you have in your life. Look at it from a different perspective. And there might be one way that you can do this as well, is find a topic that you're interested in and then listen to some short things, the people talking about it, and see how they each approach it. I'm not talking about politics. I'm talking about something spiritual, like my talk, and Reverend James's talk. They're exactly talking about the same thing, and they're very different. And I'm just fascinated by that. There's always another way, and I wish you a week of finding the path that works best for you. Thank you for listening today. Discovering Spirit Within is produced by Spiritual Life Center. If you enjoyed our discussion and feel inspired to support us, you can go to slcworld.org/donate. And now, until we meet again, deep peace of the running wave to you, deep peace of the flowing air to you, deep peace of the quiet earth to you, deep peace of the shining stars to you, deep peace of the son and daughter of peace to you, and may the joys of the world go with you.